Wisconsinite coverage of the Tuesday's election continues. We're interviewing Jason Stein and Patrick Marley of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We want to thank our partners, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, for broadcasting this on JS Online. Well, fellow reporters, any surprises last night? Walker by 52%. Just your thoughts. Let's start with the Gov's election.
Well, certainly, I think, you know, the surprises were more at the level of the legislature. I mean, going into the governor's race, things were pretty similar to what had been expected, you know, in both the governor's and the attorney general's races. So, you know, the question is now, what does the governor do with this very big conservative legislature that he's got before him?
Well, Patrick, I think one thing is that there were some people who expected to be a tighter margin this time compared to the recall. We didn't see that. So that might be a surprise that he was able to maintain the margin that he'd seen previously.
Let's go back to some, do you think the plagiarism question and the debate over the circumstances under which Mary Burke left TREC in 1993, did those cause her campaign to lose momentum? And how significant do you think they were in her defeat? She got 46.5%, as you guys know.
I mean, in terms of the plagiarism, obviously the talk that there were recycled passages in her jobs plan, that certainly seemed to come at a time when Governor Walker had had just a string of events, many of them outside of his control, that sort of complicated his campaign. And so I'm talking about things like same-sex marriage becoming the law of the land in Wisconsin. I mean, something he's got nothing he can do about that. It sort of gave a little bit of momentum to Democrats and liberals. So there were a whole series of things that had been happening there. And that plagiarism accusation really kind of cut off the momentum for Burke, it seemed to me. It signaled kind of a start of a different series of events that favored the governor more. In terms of these recent allegations that she was forced out of her family business, TREC, I have not seen from the polling any sign that that was an effect. The only argument that I've seen that had an effect was some Democrats saying that it drove up Mary Burke's negatives. But of course, she also ran a very tough ad about Scott Walker that included the image of a swastika and so forth in response to those claims. So that certainly could have had an effect too.
But Patrick, isn't it fair to say in the last few days of the campaign, the last thing Mary Burke wants to have to deal with is talking about the circumstances under which she left her father's company?
Absolutely. I mean, it changed the dynamic of the campaign. It changed what she was talking about. It was the last 5 days. It seemed to come take them by a complete surprise. They had to do a rapid response. But the one downside for the Republicans is that it came so late, there was less time for it to sink in, less time to develop ads. There was an ad from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce that dealt with this, but really in sort of a passing way. And so I don't think they had the ability to get the kind of traction on it that they did, the charges that there was plagiarism. That was an issue she was slow to recover from. She sort of developed her response late. And in the process of stumbling over that, she gave them some footage that they were able to use very effectively in an ad that was a problem for her.
One thing that what I would stress about the governor's race, his reelection race, and really his entire term as governor has been the stability of how the public feels about the governor. I mean, you know, he's obviously very polarizing. Conservatives love him, liberals hate him. But, you know, throughout this campaign and really through most of his first term, the public opinion on the governor has stayed pretty stable. And it was not a race of dramatic reversals and changes. It was a race in which people fought very hard and spent a lot of money, but not a lot changed.
My impression, and I'm going to ask you guys if you share it, Mary Burke announced 13 months ago. She was a former business executive commerce secretary. My impression is that she grew as a candidate. When she said in her speech last night, I found that I really loved that, she got better in the last 2 months. Agree?
Yeah, she made dramatic strides during the campaign. I was there when she first announced her run, and she had a very brief news conference outside the Madison School Board, and she was very nervous. You could see her shaking a little bit, a less confident voice. And you really saw her ramp up quickly, and by, you know, the summer, she was still not the seasoned politician that Scott Walker is, but yeah, she made great strides.
Do you think she laid the groundwork to potentially run in 4 years? We just interviewed Speaker Loftus. He said definitely. I'm just curious whether you guys agree.
That option is totally available to her, I would say.
Certainly. I mean, you know, this is a person who had previously only run for school board, although she had been involved in state politics at the cabinet department level. And she went through a race in which she faced many tough allegations, you know, and she certainly had some moments where she struggled to find responses, but she certainly did improve, I think, pretty dramatically in terms of the blocking and tackling skills of a candidate, you know, to the extent, particularly if she were willing to invest more of her own resources in the race, in a future race, she would be a candidate that any Democratic primary opponents would have to take very seriously.
Let's talk about Scott Walker as a historical figure. Only governor of the nation to survive a recall. Then he goes on and wins a new four-year term. I'm curious, you guys have been covering him for a long time. What did you learn about him in this election? Any impressions on how he's changed or grown as a candidate?
Boy, that's a great question.
He stays on message, and he stays on message, and he stays on message, but...
Yes. I guess, again, for me, the takeaway would not be new revelations about Scott Walker. It would be more stability in the sense that he has always been a relentless, conservative elected official and campaigner who is willing to do whatever he needs to do to get his policies passed and himself and his allies reelected. And I think that's the governor that you saw for the past year.
He's unflappable, but I don't know that, I mean, we've known that for a long time, really, with Acts 10 and his willingness to stand up in the face of these very large protests and go out in front of the media every day, sometimes multiple times a day, getting heckled, he got very used to going to any speech to a friendly crowd and there would be some who would come in and protest him. He could handle that easily, and we just continue to see that.
His 11-minute victory speech, sound to you guys who've covered him like he's seriously considering running for president?
He mentioned America a lot.
And mentioned anti-Washington a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it was
a
speech. I mean, a majority of that speech, or huge chunks of that speech, could be delivered in Des Moines to a crowd in Des Moines at a rally without any changes being made to them.
The race for attorney general, surprises there? We have two Harley riding, one plays the bass guitar, who won?
Right. I mean, I thought all along that the attorney general's race would likely track with what happened with the governor's race, and we really saw that. There's some drop.
Coattails, Patrick?
Well, yeah, I guess that's what it is. It's just we have a very polarized electorate. I think there's less ticket splitting happening, and as went the governor's race, that's how the attorney general's race went. What was remarkable to me is how little the public was aware of that race. You know, they were tied in the first time we saw them for the Marquette poll, and then 2 weeks later, Brad Schimmel had the lead. But even though people had made up their minds about how they were going to vote, 7 in 10 said they didn't know enough information about the candidates to have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of them. That is, a week before an election, that is a remarkable number of voters.
Well, and, you know, I think you just have to add up several things. One, the fact that the public was so certain about how they felt about the governor and whether or not they wanted to see him reelected. There's the national feeling about the president and his policies. And then finally, as Patrick says, a race for attorney general in which the electorate does not have a lot of very specific knowledge and in which the amount of money spent is dwarfed by other things. And that really gets you to a point where, along with polarization and the decline in ticket splitting, it really just gets you to almost a foregone conclusion in some ways.
You think we'll see Susan Happ run for statewide office again? Did she lay the groundwork here and make a good impression?
I mean, I think that this was her first statewide race. She came out of nowhere. I talked to a Democrat early on, even before her primary, and somebody said she, no matter what, she comes out a winner, because even if she had just placed well in the primary, it would have been considered a victory because she was going against two people who had been around for a long time. She won that primary quite handily. And then, you know, she kept it close enough in the statewide race, showed some appeal that she could, on some issues, try to appeal to the other side or to independents. So I think if she wanted to run again, she could make that.
Obviously, she would not have the credentials for the legislature or some other roles that she had for attorney general. So I guess the question for her, if she wanted to run again, is what could she translate her credentials? What position could she translate those into?
Certainly she could run again for attorney general. She could run for Supreme Court justice or appeals court justice.
Speaker Voss, we just talked to, maybe you guys heard part of it. He's claiming in a mandate, potentially growing up three seats from 60 to 63, pending two potential recounts. Do you see it as a mandate? And if so, is he going to be able to get this entire package that he announced October 1 through his House? And is he going out ahead of the governor, announcing an agenda? Just your thought on the Speaker.
He's always tried to put forth an agenda. I mean, he obviously works hand in hand with the governor on many issues, but he's always tried to put out a lot of ideas on what he wants to do. They had a big majority before. They've got a bigger one now. They'll be able to pass. I don't see any problem with passing anything in that agenda and more.
And what about the state Senate? Are they going to give the governor and the assembly everything, or is there some choke points, as there was last session?
I mean, there's a great question. You know, the state Senate has never had kind of a strong identity of its own. It certainly has been sort of a somewhat moderate break on other conservative, on the governor and the conservative assembly. I mean, the question, but it's never really advanced its own agenda of policies. And, you know, the question will be now, will the Senate, as you say, go along more with the Assembly? Will you see a rise in some kind of separate agenda from the Senate? Or is it going to be more about them, again, very much reacting to what the other, you know, the other major actors in state government do?
Let's talk about the major issues that you expect next session. I'll go first. Funding transportation, what do you guys want to add? GAB? Just what do you see bubbling up?
Speaker Voss today was talking about reforming the Government Accountability Board. I think that's inevitable that they do something. It'll be interesting to see how the Senate reacts to that. On transportation, everybody from the governor to all of the Republican lawmakers are talking about some kind of reforms, but in very vague terms. It's clear they're going to do something. I don't know that they know what they're going to do on that.
I mean, I think three things. One, Republicans finding ways to fund the tax cuts that they've promised in a tight budget. That'll be something to watch. Two, as you say, finding a way to resolve the very long-term challenges we have in our roads fund. Three, just trying to handle a number of education issues. So from how much new money are we going to give schools to how are we going to hold all schools that get public money accountable.
That's accountability, expansion of choice and vouchers.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then maybe just to throw in a fourth thing, how much does Governor Walker let the legislature go toward conservative issues, particularly social ones?
Okay. Well, you guys then are looking for Walker's budget to pretty much sail through Assembly and Senate over the next 5 or 6 months of next year, since the Republicans have the executive and Senate and Assembly?
I think it would be similar to the last two budgets where he introduces it. There's some tinkering around the edges, some tweaking, probably some additions from the Republicans in the state, in the legislature. But yeah, he'll get 90% of what he wants, I would think.
Yeah, he might have a Republican or two vote against it. He won't have any Democrats vote for it.
Just a final question. What's the one thing you guys are most interested in, going to be following most closely in the next 6 months?
I mean, well, the thing I'm most interested in is how the Senate Republicans, what they're like this next session. It's a bigger majority. They've lost. Senator Mike Ellis has left, and he was often a break on some things. The size of tax cuts, the statewide expansion of school vouchers. And so are they going to go along with the Assembly more often? Does someone else in the Senate start filling that role? I think that's going to be the most interesting thing that'll set the tone of the next session.
Jason?
Is Paul Ryan going to run for president? Is Scott Walker going to run for president? None of the above.
Very good. Okay, Jason Stein, Patrick Marley of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thanks. I realize you got to get the governor's cabinet meeting. Thanks for your time.
Thanks to you.
Thank you.